Magic the Pro-thering.
That's right. Yay. Not only are you going to get to listen to Maria and I and or see our faces, you're going to get to have a very special pro guest.
Yes. Magic the Pro-thering is possible because you support us on Patreon. And if you'd like to do so, go to patreon.com/mtacast. It makes episodes like the Pro-thering possible. This episode of the Pro-thering, which we record one a month, is very, it's very special, Megan.
It really is.
It's only one a month.
Only one a month.
Not a lot.
No, that's about as often as I eat frozen yogurt.
Really?
I mean, no. I either eat frozen yogurt more or less often.
I know, I was going to say you eat it way more than that.
Not during the winter. Right now I'm at like 0 times a month.
Oh,
but during the summer it's like once a week, so it evens out.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, enough about my frozen yogurt eating habits.
Today's guest is a specialist frozen yogurt. Everybody, welcome Matei Sadokash.
Hey guys.
Hi, how are you doing, Matei?
I'm actually doing great. I just opened up your Patreon. I actually might become a patron.
Wow.
You guys are so awesome.
That's awesome. I'm so excited. Thank you.
Maria, that was a really nice example of always be closing.
I was really closing that deal. So, Matei, welcome to the show, and thank you for hanging out with us for an hour. We wanted to talk to you because you're just a great guy, and I've gotten to interact with you on a bunch of pro tours, and every time that I meet you, you're just happy, you're just smiling, you're having a great time. Is that not true? Are you inwardly tormented?
No. I try to keep up, a good mood overall, but it depends. Like, the longer the tournament goes, the more fatigued I am usually, so not always super happy, smiley, but I try to be... And it's always nice when you guys can be, smiley towards me as well. So, we kind of feed off each other as well.
So I just want to give a little bit of background about you before we get started. In case people don't know, Matei is one of the top European players, and you're from Slovakia.
Yes, you got that on the first try. Did you do your research beforehand?
I did do my research.
Or did you know?
I did my research, and I also knew.
just gonna guess.
Yeah.
He's from. Hold on, just a second. Poland. No. No. Okay.
Let's
wait a second.
Let's just throw something out. Yeah, from Slovakia, and you were runner-up at Pro Tour Berlin in 2008, 7th place Pro Tour Dragon's Maze, and you won Grand Prix Stockholm in 2014. How'd I do?
Yeah, very good. I'm sure you would have known to rattle that off even before, even without Google, I'm sure.
Yep. I just had that in the back of my mind all these years.
Just through the grapevine.
Yeah.
The information trickles down.
So a lot of people know Matei through his nickname, Big Z. I wouldn't call you a big man. How did you get that nickname?
It's actually a fun story. I'm sure you guys know Jerry Thompson.
Yeah.
So around 07, 08, I think he was going to Europe for some Grand Prix because he was really trying to go what was equivalent of platinum at that time. And I actually met him at the Grand Prix Brighton, and we got talking. We actually even played at the tournament. He was just like a super fun guy, and we hung out. And then he was like, dude, your last name sucks. You need a nickname. something like Big Z or something. I'm like, yeah, sure. Okay, whatever you want. And it stuck since then.
Also, who just says your last name sucks?
Jerry Thompson.
Oh, gosh.
I mean he does have a point. In a way, it's very complicated. It's hard to pronounce properly and so on. So I kind of get that. But it wasn't malicious. I would have probably chosen something different if I had known that Big Z is some sort of Lithuanian basketball player that was playing in the NBA at the time. So.
Really? I didn't know that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's so great. Big Z.
Yeah, but I'm fine with that.
Okay. I mean, your last name, I mean, to be fair, it does look like, to an American, that it's pronounced Zadokaj.
Sure.
How would you pronounce that?
I mean, we can't say because like, I know how to say it.
Okay. All right. Okay.
But
yeah, I actually had some, I think the people struggling the most are French, the French players, because for them it was Zadokaj. Or something like that. So it was not very nice. And even they botched my first name as well. So, yeah. But it's it's for everyone. I still remember the first time I had a good result at a tournament that was covered by live video. That was Pro Tour Kuala Lumpur. I finished just outside the top 16, and it was Rich Hagen and I don't know who else, and they like going through the results list, and they completely butchered my name, like completely. I kind of don't have it in my memory anymore because it was so horrible. So that was kind of funny because that got me talking to Rich Hagen himself, because like a GP that he went to do his podcast at the time, I told him like, dude, you totally butchered my name. I gotta teach you how to pronounce it. And we did a little interview, and I've known Rich ever since. So,
Aww, that's adorable.
That's a little meat cute.
Yeah.
If this were a rom-com, like, that would suffice. You guys could be protagonists.
Megan's casting her movie, Matei and Rich Hagen. the love story.
It's going to be great, you guys. It's going to be a hit. So, out of curiosity, what's the magic community like in Slovakia?
Well, it's kind of up and down. It's always been a little complicated. The community is somewhat small. I don't know. In a way, it's... I'm sure you guys know that Czechoslovakia used to be one country, and like there's the Czechs, there's the Slovaks. So in the Czech Republic, the magic was very popular for a long time, especially in Prague. Like, boom, famous pro players came out of it. And Slovakia was a little different. We were kind of, distributor was the same for both countries, but he just didn't put as much effort into working to the Slovak community. So it was always kind of on the edges, like we always had like one shop, if at all. So, but it's gotten a little better. We have a couple shops all around the country, and I think Wizards' efforts have helped. So yeah, it's all right. It's not too big, but we have some good players in the historical tables for such a small country. And I haven't personally, but the country, we have won the Team World Championship once, so I guess that counts for something.
Yeah, that totally
That's
does.
Awesome. So how many people, I mean, how big is the country? I don't even know. I'm showing my American ignorance right now.
5 million, around 5.5 million. So not very big. But I mean, our local shop, like people used to laugh. But we used to have like 8 player PTQs like more than 10 years ago, just because like there were the price was just the invitation. There was no flight. So like if the Pro Tour was in Japan, we just couldn't find 8 people who would have money to actually travel to Japan. But I mean, the times have changed, and of course, like people around much more. So and now the RPTQs give out flights and stuff. It has changed, but like our pre-releases have like 50-60 people, so nothing too big.
Wow, it's crazy to think about magic in such a small sort of environment. Like, you must know everybody, and everybody knows everybody, and you can expect like who's going to show up at a tournament, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's actually even funny, because like sometimes the way you have to get 8 people to the tournament is by using Facebook Messenger to actually like, you know, write to the people. It's like, are you coming? And like, you hope to get 8 people for like a tournament. So, but it depends, of course, on the format. Like, something like Tiny Leaders recently took off, which was really nice. So, people started with that format. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
I want to ask you. You were recently at the Pro Tour and Pro Tour Oath of the Gatewatch. And how did that Pro Tour go for you? What were you playing?
I was playing. That's Shadow Zoo. I don't know what the correct name is, but basically like the crazy, the zoo deck where you try to kill yourself before killing your opponent. we did. Tournament was going really well until the last constructed portion. I was 9-2 going to those rounds after going 6-0 in draft, which is highly unusual for me.
Wow.
My friends would really laugh they still keep laughing at me when they see me tied for the lead for the draft master for world. So
awesome.
What can you do? But yeah, it's great, but like it's still a long way to go. So but I lost all 5 constructed rounds. But to be fair, I was, that tournament was for me, it was win or bust, because some of you may have heard that I'm going to be retiring from playing after this season. So I only had this Pro Tour and 2 more to go before officially hanging up my cards, I guess. I don't know how you would say that.
That's so sad. Why are you leaving us?
Is it because now that you've been on this show, there's nowhere else to go?
Yeah, I've reached the highest of heights, you know, so might as well, at the top of my game. Now, Yeah, but seriously, it's more like I am. I don't have that much time anymore. I recently got a job that I'm not going to have that much time off, and I juggled my pro playing in the last couple of years by switching jobs a lot. So I quit a job, got months off to test for the pro tour. Went to a couple of GPs, then had another job, and it was just like I was juggling too much. So I want to focus on doing Magic coverage. So I think that should be good, because I don't have the time to test, even if I was qualified. So, yeah, that's life.
Just out of curiosity, what field are you in outside of Magic?
I'm working in marketing. Yeah, so marketing for an IT security company. So actually a pretty big one, one of the biggest Slovak companies at all. And we do a pretty damn good antivirus, so you should get it.
Okay, excellent.
No, my antivirus comes from Slovakia.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No big deal. Well, we'll be sad to lose you playing on the pro circuit, but we will certainly love to see you in the booth more often. And I guess I'll ask you a little bit about it, because it's something that a lot of players aspire to, is doing commentary for Magic. How did that come about for you? How did you get started commentating in the booth, and what is it like?
Well, actually, like, remember the story about Rich I said at the start, like the fact that we even got to talking, and the fact that I actually was successful a little at the time just helped me to, you know, talk to Rich. And once the video picture for like in the US started with Rashad and GG's Live and so on, I just told Rich one some of the GPs, like, Rich, if you're ever coming to Europe to do video, like, if you want me, I would be glad to do it, so just let me know.
Oh, that's
I get
awesome.
An email, it's like, yeah, like, would you like to try it? It's we have this GP coming up, and yeah, we'll see how it goes. And I was like, sure. And yeah, ever since then I've been on the European. I think we're doing an okay job. Just too bad that there's not that many GPs to cover this year. There's going to be much fewer, but yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I guess I want to know what's your favorite part about doing commentary, and also what is the most challenging part?
I think for me, I just always liked observing Magic, like just being able to not only play, but play actively, you know, like those guys who watch some Magic, some coverage, and they post all the time in the Twitch chat, is like, he should play this, or he should have done that, you know, it's like, I'm the kind of guy where I want to see the right play, so that's definitely the most fun part, and like being involved in that, it's just great. And but the most challenging is probably just like the broadcasting side of things, you know, like keeping your head cool, pronouncing the things properly, not rushing into things, and understanding that people want to be entertained as well as informed. Like trying to find that balance is really hard, and you can see it's. Game knowledge is sometimes not a problem for the people. They know the cards, they know the interaction, and so on, but they not always have the way to, you know, get across their points or say things in a nice way. And it's also pretty challenging for me, because English is not my first language, naturally.
I was just going to, like, talk about that, because, my God, you are so good at English. And, like, do a lot of people in Slovakia speak English? Do the Magic players play with English cards?
Yeah. English is a second language here, so... it basically just means that everyone learns English in school from like age 6, 7, 8, basically. So, but the quality is not that high usually. But I mean, there's a lot of U.S. and other foreign companies that move their offices here just because there's a lot of people with university degrees that speak passable English, so to say. So like I don't know, like companies like Dell have like a huge office here for all their finance stuff, and they employ like a billion people, so yeah. And like there's a lot of others as well, so yeah, English is pretty spread out.
Well, I mean, congratulations on being so good at English, like, honestly, and having to do commentary in a second language. I can't even
super
fathom
impressive.
It anyway.
So let's go back a little bit. How did you get started playing Magic?
it's a long time ago. Yeah, I started playing it around 1999, and it was just I my best friend at the time. His father was a big bad nerd, and he just found it through friends, and like, you know, he's like, you know, the kind of dirt nerd that, like, you know, his wife would always sigh when he would mention fantasy, and like, you know, he read all the books. He had the whole Dungeons & Dragons thing. There was actually a local version of that Dungeons & Dragons that he was super into. And, you know, he had two teenager kids, so like naturally he passed it on to them. And so through my best friend and his father, I've gotten around, and we started playing in school. And a couple of us kept playing for a couple of years, but I'm the only one left out of that group. So, but it's normal.
My only goal in life now is for someone to describe me as a big bad nerd.
It's so good.
And so what do you love about magic? Why do you think of that group of people, you are now the lone survivor?
I think in a way persistence, like with many things, but it's kind of like a part of myself in the past. It's when I was a kid, I used to be really into sports, but mainly not playing. I was like the couch potato kid, you know. I was like watching soccer for you guys. I was watching soccer all the time on television. I was the kid at 10 years old. I was buying the newspaper, which was just sports, you know. And I read it on the way to school. I read it in school during breaks. Other kids made fun of me, and you know, like because of this. So I was always into like this competitive scene, but I wouldn't say I was fat, but I wasn't very, you know, my physique wasn't very sporty, and I had some like, I wouldn't say I was a sick child, but I broke my bones several times playing sports. So from a certain age, I knew like, okay, professional sports is not going to be something for me. So when Magic came around, I immediately like dived into it and like started reading tournament reports. I was like, yo, tournaments, great. So it's a way to get my competitive side into full fruition in a way, and just like, you know, use a mental skill rather than a physical skill, and to dominate my opposition or whatever, you know. I'm joking, obviously, but yeah, so something like that. So, and this is also why doing commentary is so fun, because I used to, you know, like watch so much soccer that I just like, oh, it would be fun doing commentary, you know, or like being a journalist or things like that. So I have natural affinity for that.
I have to say, the chances that you might break your bones playing Magic is quite low.
Yes.
Yes, that's fantastic.
I mean, you never know. I want to put it out there. You never know.
I mean, Rich Hagen in the booth, he can give a swift elbow to the rib if you say the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
True. I know all about that. Or an earful.
Yeah. Or a horrible pun that can just make all of the bones in your body break simultaneously.
Yeah, definitely.
So, question. A lot of people play Magic, and a lot of people have been playing Magic for a long time, but not everybody can say, I got second at a Pro Tour. I mean, what makes you, do you think, a good Magic player?
Good question, because I usually don't consider myself a Magic player. I would say longevity is one thing. You guys are laughing, but...
You got second at a Pro Tour!
Oh, I'm not that good at Magic. I'm only top-aided two Pro Tours.
Sure, but I mean, in a way, like, I don't consider myself respected by my peers for being a good player or having, like, any sorts of, any sort of, like, this is what the guy's good at, you know? And I recognize it myself. I see it that, you know, they're not... that things I would say like I'm really good at draft or I'm really good at that. I would say, but I've been around for a long time. I have experience, and Magic is also a game like where you have these experiences, like you've have these situations that happened to you before. So like once they happen again, you already know what could happen, and like you can gauge your options much more easily. So I guess experience is one of those things. Even though there's people who've been playing for 20 years at the Pro Tour, of course, but it just helps. And I think one of the other things, which is like a non-Magic playing skill, is networking. Like I think I'm pretty good at putting together a good group of players around me and organizing the work. And so on. And that's something that actually is a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you mentioned networking. You are kind of the chief recruiter for Team Eureka, which was recently voted Team of the Year.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So what's it like to be a part of Team Eureka?
No, it's great because I used to be on like other teams before, but I got a chance to join an existing team for Pro Tour Origins in Vancouver, which was great. But it was like couple here, people from here, a couple people from there, and but like speaking, getting to know some people there, we just kind of realized like guys, like there's a core group of us that like we want to keep trying to do well, and it's like why, like we should maybe try to do something serious because you know like those Magic teams, they're like oh like these guys like a couple serious guys and a couple like Hall of Famers who like come in for the fun, you know, a couple of first time PTQ winners who like really excited, but like don't know what it's like. So but we were like a couple guys who were qualified for the whole next season. We were like let's put together a proper team, and yeah, it's actually like being the guy who helps organize things is I think where I think I do really well. I think my team likes my work, so being team of the year is nothing that I can take credit for naturally, but we have a lot of great players around me, which I think I helped to make them comfortable enough to win a lot of Magic, so.
And you're one of the teams that, like, there's a lot of teams that do stuff like just directly before the Pro Tour, but you're a team that really, you kind of seem like you are always working together and you're all always preparing, whether it's Grand Prix or Pro Tours. So how do you guys all like test and practice together when it's not just directly before a Pro Tour?
It's usually we have a Facebook group where we share information. So it's usually people if they start winning a lot, then they make a post and like, guys, I've been doing really well with this deck. Like, anybody want to try help me? Well, like tune it a little, and I think we could do well. But it's usually based around like upcoming tournaments. But for example, like today. People shared some thoughts about the Magic Online Championship Series tournament that's running right now, well, at the time of the interview, and like they prepared like talk about like which decks would be viable, and now there's actually we have a scouting thread, so like all the people they're playing actually writing like what their opponents were playing or what they know their a couple of other people are playing, so that if another teammate gets paired, like they already know what they'll be up against. So it's this kind of effort that which I think I wouldn't say makes our team that special, but I think we do a lot of these things to help each other out.
Do you also share like, you know, recipes in this Facebook group? Like, hey, I just made this really bomb grilled cheese.
No.
Okay.
No, but we do plan like logistics, like travel plans, and like the all the testing, and even like new recruits or like I think the most important thing is like we share when someone's unhappy about something. Like we even talk about like this is what we got to do better next time. Like this is what we could change, and this is how we should do it. So I think that's it's really good, and I think our atmosphere and like the core group that we have is very good.
Yeah, I mean, you've got some great players that are part of Team Eureka. And do you have like specific roles that you're looking to fill on the team? You know, like, oh, this person, we need somebody who's really awesome at limited. We need this person to be our constructed master. Or do you just say, these are really good players, let's throw them all in a soup and see what happens?
Yeah, well, at the start, I mean, now we kind of. At this point, we are like a group of 11 people that are qualified for all the PTQs for the rest of the year, and I think already 7 people are at least gold or better, even for next year. So it's like I know these people are going to be the core people, and we just I think we need to find others that kind of like fill the gaps, as you said, because like for example, last Pro Tour, we felt that we dropped the ball a little unconstructed. So like when we were recruiting for this one, which is actually taking place right now, we were really like going for constructed specialists, so or people that have been known to be like pretty good in constructed, because we felt that our team was already doing really well in limited. Since if it's a team that can make me good in limited, I think we got limited covered. So from in that regard, I think we're in a good spot, and I think we already have one new addition. It's secret. I can't tell just yet. I'm gonna be the tease, but I mean, we have one addition which I don't think will be that surprising to many, but I have one which I think is going to be a bomb. So I think I'm gonna plug that on Twitter, I think next week, if it
Okay.
works out. So,
All right. Well, there you
Watch
guys.
that space.
Exactly. And
exactly, yeah.
by the way, everyone listening, Maria and I are coining player soup as our pro team name if we ever get on the pro tour, so don't try and use it.
Player soup.
Player soup.
Team
Team
player
player
soup.
soup. Yeah.
That sounds
It's
like
gonna be
we're a
great.
team of players who like soup. Like
I mean, why not?
players, you know?
What?
Or what?
You know,
Wait, is
like
it play or soup, or is it player soup? Because
play your soup. Like, you do a die roll at the top of the game. Play your soup. They're like, what?
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking.
No, you come to a restaurant and be like, yeah, want to play magic or want to get some soup?
I don't know, you guys. It's going to be one or the other.
Play your soup.
Listen, I came here to eat soup and play magic. And I already played magic.
Anyways. Oh my god. Okay, well, what's your Twitter handle so people can follow you so in case they want to hear the news?
It's at @BIG_Z_MTG. Yeah, I know.
Yep. Nice. So speaking of like limited at the Pro Tour and everything, I don't know about you, Megan, but I'm having a bit of a tough time with Oath Limited, unless I draft green-white. How are you feeling?
I have just started playing Modern instead.
Yep, okay. So we're both having a tough time. How did you crack the draft at the Pro Tour?
I drafted red-white twice, so that's one way.
God, I don't understand anything anymore!
to be fair, green-white is nice, but I saw you drafting at the Pro Tour, you know, like at the lobby of the staff hotel.
Oh, yeah?
And you overrate the green-white cards way too much. I mean...
You're being straight up called out right now.
I saw you like open a pack, like, ooh, lead by example. And it's like, but there's so many better cards.
I did not say, oh, lead by example.
I mean, I don't know. I think of the two of you, Matei is the unbiased one here. I'm going to believe him.
That's true. So were you drafting like equipment or were you drafting just like allies?
Whatever comes your way, but usually like a good curve and some removal spells. Usually tricks. I think tricks were pretty good. I think you're laughing because like green white, haha, it's kind of the same thing. But like red has some good cards. Some of the ally synergies really come up better in red white compared to green white. So yeah, I think that's a good way. But we had other archetypes. We like black white. I think was one of the best archetypes. So just if you're in white, I think you're already good. So don't be too sad about your green white choice, okay. Maria. I think it's fine. Just gotta be a little more careful. But Megan, I'm not sure if now is a good time to get into Modern. I don't know if you saw like some of the results.
No, that's fair enough. I feel like it's just a show of how much I was just like, screw Oath of the Gatewatch draft. And as to be fair, I've been playing Modern and it has been a little bit like, well, okay.
Yeah, there's another Eldrazi.
Either you're playing Eldrazi or you're losing.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yep. So, but I'm as Maria knows, as our listeners know, I really love Lantern Control. So even if I'm losing with Lantern Control, if I just get one person to not be able to cast any spells
gross
on any given day, I really feel good about myself.
Oh, you that kind of person? The Lantern kind of person?
Oh. I'm really sorry. I know.
No. You know, when I started playing Magic, there was always this one guy at the store playing, you know, this deck. I forgot what it was built around. I think it was like, we didn't have, like, the formats weren't broken down as much as they were today. It's like kind of like Legacy / Vintage / Extended was, I wouldn't say the same thing, but pretty much the same thing at the time, or at least for me, with, like, not a big card pool. As this one guy who was always playing, like, the Wasteland Sinkhole and the Dark Ritual kind of deck, and he would always like try to finish off the game with like the it's like 4-mana enchantment that everything gets countered unless that player plays 3 extra mana, and he would like destroy land and play this, and like he played it for like 5 or 6 years straight. I'm like, I'm never going to be that guy, and you're that guy. No, that girl.
You're that guy, Megan.
I'm sorry. Except I know it. You came on this show because you've met Maria. And she's great, and now you've really been blindsided.
Yeah,
it's all right. To be fair, Joel Larson told me you both are fantastic, so don't worry.
Thanks, Joel. next time, I'm just gonna have to have you over my shoulder in the lobby, Matei, because you're gonna be like, Maria, what are you doing with that saddleback? There's like an isolation zone. Just kidding, I would never make that pick, but
because isolation zone is white.
Yeah.
Okay, Maria, you open a pack, and there's a saddleback Legac and an Oblivion Strike.
I'm taking Oblivion Strike, but
just making sure.
But
I'm
I
just
want
checking.
To Thank take God. The saddle.
Just checking.
So I guess this is a good question. Like, how do you think you guys ended up with the decks that you played? You played Death Shadow, so you weren't playing the Eldrazi deck. How did you guys come to that decision? I don't know if everybody on your team was playing that, but
most of the team was playing. There was, I think we were 15 at that Pro Tour. I think 11 of us were playing that deck. Two of us were playing, in effect. One was playing green-white Eldrazi, I think.
Oh, okay.
Or like Abzan Eldrazi. Yeah, it was actually... it was actually interesting because I think we had the deck since I think late November, and we've like tried a lot of different versions. A lot of people have been winning a lot of Magic Online even before the bannings or before the new set, and I think that was one part of the problem that we kind of, I wouldn't say we locked in on the deck too soon, but there was definitely one teammate who bought 30 Death Shadows in December, like already thinking that like I'm gonna play that card. The card's gonna spike in value.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was kind of part of the problem. We tried a lot of Eldrazi configurations, but we never figured to go full colorless or try like something even like the worst card, like Eldrazi Skyspawner and such. So yeah, we had the green white Eldrazi again, but it just wasn't finished yet, unfortunately. So only one person played, didn't do too well. But the rest of the team like did okay. I think we had like 7 people cashing in the tournament overall. But I think it was carried mostly by like our limited performance. I think we finished as the second best team in limited. So
wow.
That's pretty good.
That's awesome.
That is. I completely forgot what I was about to say.
Well, I want to ask about the green white Eldrazi. Is that playing like with Siege Rhino plus like the Displacer?
No, it was more like just accelerate out the Eldrazi a little sooner. So it was playing actually Boreal Druid, so the one that gives you colorless mana if it taps. So that's kind of
okay.
The Thought Knot Seer. Like it was giving you more turn to Thought Knot Seers and stuff, but we just missed a couple cards, and like the druids are then pretty weak in like the mid late game, so it wasn't always working out. But yeah, it was just I think there was a lot of space that we missed out, and that's also the reason why we're looking for some more constructed specialists.
Well, anyway, a great record overall, especially in limited there. I mean, that's a tricky mountain to climb, if I do say so myself, because I'm having trouble with it. But but I think it's pretty impressive how you guys finished, and obviously you've been doing very well this year. And I wish you guys good luck and continued success as you guys go on into the next Pro Tour.
Thank you.
So if you could change one thing about Magic overall, what would you change about it?
That's tough. I think maybe a little different coming from a country such as ours. I wouldn't say we're like a poor country, but like when Magic started, it used to be really a game for people that had money, just because like the average even the average salary now is not much more than, I don't know, like $700-$800 a week, I guess. That's like the average. A month. $800 a month.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
It's higher where I live. It's like it's somewhat comfortable, but like it used to be much worse because like the dollar was much stronger against like our currency and so on. So like if I could change one thing, I would make Magic a little more accessible to the people. I would like Magic to be cheaper in a way. Like I understand like it's a game, supply demand and so on. I understand that Wizards needs to pay for all these things that they're doing, but I would just love it if Magic was cheaper and like people could afford to, you know, invest more into Magic. And even like going to Grand Prix, like, you know, it's a big topic that like the prices of Grand Prix are getting out of hand for a lot of players. So it's definitely a huge problem for our community where like people kind of sometimes they save up for like a whole year to go to one Grand Prix. That's, you know, not even that far just because it costs so much money. It's not only travel, but to actually then pay the entry fee and so on. So it's tough, but I would love it if Magic was more accessible in this regard, which would also mean like more younger people could afford it. Because like, you know, it's tough, but it's an expensive hobby, and what can you do? And I get pretty lucky in that situation, and I try to help out, you know, I always try to help out with lending cards to friends and so on if they need it, but it's not always easy.
Yeah, I mean, even like thinking about Standard, I think is, you know, something that's always on my mind, which is that Standard's rotating so very often. And new cards are coming, and you've got to buy into new decks, and you know, buy into different sideboard, you know, potentially every other weekend. It can be a little tough to keep up with.
Exactly. Yeah, it's much more of a problem, especially when the people don't have that much money. So then, when they do buy magic cards, they tend to invest into formats that take longer. And of course, with bannings, you know, they buy their birthing pod decks, or finally after 2 years finishing their Splinter Twin decks, and they ban it. Like, it must feel super disheartening. So I kind of get that. And I think it would also like make Magic into more of a global game in a way, just because, like, you know, there's other countries, like huge countries that are, I think, like, you know, India, you know, like a billion people, they speak English. Like, I think Magic would be pretty good success if it wasn't that expensive, you know, or like a lot of other countries, like even like Eastern Europe and so on. But yeah, that's Magic, but I'm sure it's gonna still keep going strong.
Yeah, speaking of playing and having cards rotate every so often, we're gonna come up on a rotation here when Shadows mm-hmm. over Innistrad comes through. So I'm just wondering, are there any decks that you're happy to see say goodbye to as they leave? Like, don't let the door hit you on the way out, Siege Rhino, or are like any strategies you're hoping will open up when the new set is released?
Honestly, for Standard, I'm actually really looking forward to the Fetchlands rotating out. I think it was a nice addition, but I think like the shuffling and so on, it made the games really long as well. And like when I look at the Standard metagame right now, I'm just really happy I don't have to be playing Standard until it rotates out. Just because all the Reflector Mage and rallies and whatnot, it's just getting out of hand. So I just want to see a nice change of pace. I like smaller Standards as well. It's a little easier to figure out, so I'm really looking forward to the rotation. I already sorted my cards. This pile of cards is like going elsewhere. I'm not going to be needing that anymore. And there's like, oh, this is actually not that many cards. Sweet, I'm looking forward to brewing.
Yeah, is there any cards you're like looking forward to? Like, oh, maybe I'll make a deck with this, or is that top secret tech?
No, it's not. No, nothing's top secret yet, but I'm actually really looking forward to just, okay, I have my four Jaces, Rinse Prodigies, and that card seems busted right now, so I think it's going to be pretty good after the rotation, so I think I'm just going to all the Jace decks at the start.
Okay, that's something you get on board with.
You heard it, everybody, all the Jace decks.
Yep, Jace is good. True. We've spoiled it here.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Surprise. Yeah.
I know everyone was wondering, is yep. Jace good?
Turns out.
Now you all know.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, but there's also other sweet cards, like, of course, the other Planeswalkers from that set. And it just, and you know, I've never shied away from playing Mono Red, so that's also an option that I might be trying, but we'll see.
Chandra, I mean, people say Chandra's really good.
She seems pretty powerful.
Yeah.
So you mentioned earlier just, like, the length of time for which you've been playing Magic. You feel like is part of what gives you an edge. But do you feel like there's anything else that makes you good at Magic?
Anything else? You're throwing curveballs over here.
Well, this is the way I like to think about it, right? Like, you know, some people play and they're just naturally good at the game. Is it because, you know, they're good at math? Some people say, yeah, that's something that I have a propensity to. So I'm like, you know, good at figuring out, you know, how much damage I should be taking versus how much I should be giving every turn. And they work it out like three turns ahead. Some people are good at like examining the board state and saying, well, this is my plan for the game and I need to do X, Y, and Z in order to win. So they're being planful and they can think ahead and imagine what's going to happen in the game. I don't know. Is there anything that you think you're particularly strong at that gives you an edge?
No, I think maybe one of the things I'm good at is kind of like figuring out when to attack, when not to attack, like being in control of the tempo of the game, like, you know, like knowing when to be on the defensive and when you can start to be offensive. And I think over the last couple of years I've gotten a little that like playing around the cards that the opponents might have, especially limited, but also relevant for constructed, and just like knowing what's the most damaging thing an opponent could do. It actually happened to me at last Pro Tour where I had a very interesting spot where I played in such a way where I was like, okay, if I don't play this, I think I might be in a bad position. Creature, but if I play the creature here, I'm only dying to Radiant Flames, and my opponent actually did play the Radiant. So I made a calculation that he wouldn't have it. I was correct in assessing, but like, of course, in the next games we play, I knew that he already had a Radiant Flame, so I was already setting a situation on board and in my hand in such a way that I could be able to play around it.
Awesome.
Nice. So yeah. These kinds of things.
This is a question we like to ask everybody who comes on Magic the Prothering,
mm-hmm.
Which is, what is your number one tip for anybody who wants to become a better Magic player? What should they do?
I don't like to be the guy that says, like, do what I do, and that's going to work for you for sure, because I think that it doesn't work that way. But what worked for me, and I think it's something that you can't get... it's almost impossible to get away from. When I started playing Magic, I was one of the first people who actually had internet access over here, or like regular access to the internet. And I started going, reading all the deck lists and so on. Even as a kid, like when I could manage to get the cards, I would play like innovative decks. And it's also very important in Magic to read articles on a daily basis. And like follow the winning decks from Magic Online, from the tournaments, and just seeing what is up and like trying to understand how the metagame is changing, what it means, and why people are doing this instead of that, and just keep educating. People have kept asking, like, dude, why don't you write articles? Like, you, like, your English is so good, and like, you know so much about Magic, like, you can for sure write. I'm like, I can't write it because I think almost everything has been written already, like, you know, the big picture things. There's so many resources in the history of Magic that I think it's very hard to write something new. And especially if you look in the past, like, there's, you know, Poe, Sam Black, like, out of other people who have written over the years, immense amount of kind of even theoretical articles on like how to approach, so it doesn't have to be always relevant. There was actually one guy who asked me, like, okay, Matej, so I want to get better at Magic, I want to get better at this, so what do you recommend? And I send him a link, like, first read articles, then write some notes, and once you write the notes, let me know. And he, like, messaged me two weeks later, and he's like, okay, these things, all right, here are 20 more articles that you should go read, come back to and then he did, and he's like, okay, I think I'm starting to get the hang of what you're trying to say. and then we talked a little, and I tried to help, and but, you know, it's all those kinds, like tempo, metagaming, deck choices, risk assessment, and things like that. Like, everything's out there, just go and have a look, or ask better players, like, what they use to become better player. But ultimately, even if you can read all the articles, you gotta play. You gotta keep playing. So that's probably the main thing. Just keep playing, no matter what kind of Magic playing, and try to improve yourself.
I realized we didn't even ask what your favorite format was.
Oh.
Overall, I've always been a fan of Extended / Modern. So that used to be one of my favorite formats. So, but I currently don't like Modern as much. But I'm hopeful the next set is going to put the format in a good spot.
Are you hoping for some bans, perhaps?
I'm hoping for an Eye of Ugin ban. I think that's most reasonable. I could also see a couple of unbans, because I think there's always like a lot of discussion about what should be banned and unbanned. And I'm trying to be the voice of reason, because people are trying to make Modern into like Legacy Light in a way, and they want to unban cards that have been banned for a very good reason. I don't want them coming back. So a banning of Iogugin would be great, but like a couple of unbans, maybe like something like an Ancestral Visions or something like that, could really help the format.
Draw three cards, yes please.
Megan's on board.
I'm behind that unbanning.
Exactly, but it's also slow, vulnerable, and so on. So yeah, we'll see. It's going to be interesting.
What events are you planning to be on coming up next?
Actually, I've decided with my wife, so she has decided. No. It wasn't that way. That I'm not going to play any Grand Prix unless I'm doing coverage. So I'm not too sure, but even if I think there's going to be coverage at Grand Prix Barcelona, but I haven't gotten the schedule yet. So I'm hoping I'm going to get to cast that one. So I'm going to be there, and then I'm going to play Pro Tour Madrid. And that's all happening in the middle of April, so which unfortunately means I'm skipping both Grand Prix Bologna in 2 weeks, as well as Grand Prix Paris in next month, unfortunately. But I'm helping my teammates prepare a little, so I'm hoping one of them will be able to take down the title.
Yeah, and well, good luck to you at the events that you do attend, and hopefully we'll see you on commentary as well.
Hoping so too. I'm definitely want to also get start the Pro Tour level commentary, but I think I'm biding my time. I have to work hard on improving my skill and at the GP level. So I hopefully I'll be able to. But also, as listeners might know, Maria is in the feature match area doing live. I did that once, and it's fun. And if I get to hang out with Maria as well, I'll take that job if I'm not playing.
Awesome. That would be great to have you back in there, Matej. It is a job that is not good on the legs or the hips, but it's fabulous in every other respect. Do you know, I went to a massage after this last Pro Tour. I told Megan this story, and the lady was like, your hips are in the worst shape of anybody I've ever given a massage to. She's like, have you been doing a lot of standing? And I was like, yes, I have. Oh God, so much standing. Oh God.
You have no idea.
It's just so bad. Anyway, yeah, that would be great. Thank you so much for joining us on the Prothering, Matej. It was wonderful to hear all of your insight about the game and about being a part of a team and doing commentary. You've got the trifecta of Magic knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yay. I'm useful.
Yay. And will you repeat where people can find you online if they want to get in touch with you?
I don't recommend Facebook because I usually don't accept friend requests because I'm not big time enough to have a fan page. I think I would have to win like a Pro Tour. I don't have that many more shots. So yeah, Twitter is probably the best bet, @big_z_mtg. Also make sure to follow Team Tournament Center on Twitter and on Facebook. It's my sponsor. They're doing a really good job of us and a couple of other people and really good Magic players as well. So this is the resource I would recommend. But also make sure to follow teammates. I know it's hard, like who is on the team and whatnot, but you'll get to hang with it. If you follow me, I'm sure you'll know who my teammates are.
Very nice.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Any final thoughts?
More words? No, it was a pleasure. It was a pleasure being here.
Oh, God. No.
Not if you don't want to. You don't want to.
Can you say, can you say something in your native language for us?
What do you want me to say?
I want you to say Maria and Megan are the most awesome people in the world.
Okay, I'll say that, but I'll pronounce your names the Slovak way. I mean... Ooh. We just have a weird alphabet. No, I mean, we have the same alphabet, but the way we pronounce the thing is weird. So don't get scared. If you hear names botched, but it's how you would pronounce them if it wasn't Slovak. So
okay,
Maria a Meghan sú najlepšie baby na svete.
That's awesome.
That was amazing.
Thank you so much, Matej. We'll see you around.